Namaskar, this is Saurabh Jain and you are listening to My Digital Talk Show. Hello folks, Namaskar, welcome to My Digital Talk Show. On my show today, I have Pat Flynn. Pat is an author, blogger, affiliate marketer, and a podcaster. Pat has uploaded more than 1500 episodes under three categories, and that's a lot, right? But here, more than 1500 episodes of podcast, he also teaches people how to grow their business using podcast. Pat's podcast has more than 50 million downloads, which is tremendous. Pat is also an affiliate marketer and has earned more than $300,000 just through one product. A genius on a show, I'm excited to ask him a lot of questions and the typical Ask Pat style. Pat, are you ready for the show?
Let's do it. Thank you for having me. Excited to be here.
My pleasure. Let's get started. That's your first question, Pat. Why do you prefer podcast over anything else? What is the thought process? I remember you saying this, there are millions of vlogs, but only a handful of podcasts. Would you like to elaborate a little bit more on this topic?
Sure. Well, there are less than 1 million active podcasts right now. So when it comes to the competitive space and content creation, there's far less competition, which is always great. But in addition to that, and this is the most important thing, I want you to think about how long it might take to read a blog post or how long people's attention spans are on YouTube. Quite short. But when you think about a podcast, people are listening to sometimes 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 1 hour, maybe 2 hours, even 3 hours at a time. So you as a content creator can develop an amazing and deep relationship with the people who are listening to your show. And I'll tell you, I go to conferences and I meet people who have listened to my show before and they talk to you, even though you've never met them before, as if they were your best friend. So I think there's a great opportunity to make a real connection. And that's what business is about making real connections and then solving problems.
Wow. So how do they discover you? They search and they discover you?
Search is one way you can be discovered. Oftentimes, actually, what's interesting about podcasting is podcasts are discovered through word of mouth. So people are sharing their favorite show with their friend or people at work. Word of mouth plays a big role, much like how when you watch a Netflix show that you like, you talk about it with somebody else. So word of mouth spreads. But there's also discoverability on platforms like Apple Podcasts and Spotify and Stitcher and other podcast directories. People are looking up podcasts. In addition to that, you may be mentioned or featured on another podcast. You could be a guest on another podcast, and that's a great way to grow as well. The challenge with podcasting is, unlike search on Google, it's not quite as easy as just typing in a word and then finding a podcast. Although Google is working to help make that a little bit easier for us. Findability is the big struggle for podcasters, but once you get a good show and there's good value, we can spread almost virally. And we've seen this in some of our shows with some of our episodes, and a number of my students as well have seen good success by just making sure to create good content and keep their listeners coming back.
So out of multiple platforms which is available in the market, Pat, a lot of people use anchor.fm to upload their podcast. What's your take and which one do you recommend?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Anchor. I like what they're doing, making podcasting easier. However, I worry about free platforms like that, much like how we've seen things happen on free platforms like Instagram or Facebook, right? You use them, you get involved with them, and then all of a sudden they start making changes because they have investors, right? Anchor is a very similar way. They just got bought out by Spotify, and they're going to have to make money at some point in some way, and currently everything is free, and I worry about that. We saw something similar with SoundCloud when they were doing a lot of podcasting stuff a few years back, and then they almost went bankrupt. So I worry about that, and plus, in addition, you never know if a company like that may inject their own ads in front of your show to make money or advertise, whereas in traditional podcasting form, you would host your media files on something like Buzzsprout or Libsyn or some other podcast host, and you'd have full control over what happens and what gets heard. So I like what they're doing. I don't recommend people go there, and that's because I want you to have full control of your audio and sort of what happens, just planning for the future.
So what do you recommend then? How do people go about it? They directly upload it on respective platforms, or how is that?
This is a great question. So I used to think, and many other people think, that podcasting works like this. You edit a podcast episode, maybe it's an interview or a solo show that you record. You get an MP3 file, and then you upload that to Apple Podcasts, and you upload that same file to Spotify, and then you upload that same file to Stitcher. That's actually not how it works. The way that it works is you have to upload those MP3 files into a podcast host. This is your media host. That's where all the files go. And that media host gives you an RSS feed. That's a link. That link is what you submit to Apple Podcasts, to Spotify, to all those other places. And what happens is every time you create a new episode, you just upload it to your host. And because those directories have that RSS feed, they'll automatically update. Essentially, what they do is they call your files to see, hey, has Sourav added anything new today? If not, then nothing changes. If yes, then great, we'll add that new content onto the directory. We'll send it out to everybody who's subscribed, and that's how it works. So it kind of works like magic after you set it up. It takes a little bit of time and tech work up front, but after that, you just work with your host to upload new episodes. You add all the descriptions there, and they do all the hard coding for you. You won't have to worry about that yourself.
Okay, so you're trying to say that we got to host our very own podcasts, and then from there you start distributing it instead of going to the free platform. That's your recommendation.
That's correct. And it's not like YouTube, where YouTube you host and they play it. Your media host for your podcast simply is like a repository for all those files, and it allows for distribution of those shows into multiple places.
So which software do you recommend to edit podcasts, and what are some of the must-have recording tools? Go ahead.
There's a lot that you can use. There's three that I would recommend, and you can choose the one based on your style, or you might have experience with one of them already. The one that I used for about 6 years, because it was free and because it did the job just right, was GarageBand, actually. So if you're a Mac user, just using GarageBand to produce your show, to edit and import files, to import royalty-free music or your interviews, and then export as an MP3, GarageBand worked just fine. Audacity is another tool. If you are a PC user or a Mac user, you can use Audacity. That one is very simple to use. They all generally work in sort of the same way. And then finally, if you are going to be doing a little bit more professional of a show and you want to have a little bit more control and you want to get into the weeds of your audio, you could use something like Adobe Audition, which is something I use now, but I it's not required. It is obviously a paid tool that you use from Adobe, but like Adobe tools in general, it can be very overwhelming to learn, but once you learn, it can be a very powerful part of your workflow.
Super. And is there any specific mic that you recommend?
Yeah, so actually my job is to make it easy for people to start podcasting, right? So the mic that I recommend is super simple to use. It's rather inexpensive, and it just plugs into your computer via a USB, but it also has those connections for higher level tools if you want to upgrade. And that microphone is the Audio-Technica. That's the name of the brand. And the microphone model number is the ATR-2100. That's the Audio-Technica ATR-2100. I actually am holding one right now, and it's very versatile. It is very lightweight, and it travels very nicely, and it sounds pretty good. If you don't mind just the fact that it's not going to be sounding the same as those $500 microphones, for most people who are listening to a compressed MP3 file as a podcast, it's going to sound basically the same. So I love this mic because it's easy to use, it's relatively cheap, and it reduces the friction that you might have to just start and get going.
Super, that sounds good. So people are listening to this show, I'm going to paste the link of this particular mic in the description so you can make a purchase in case you want one. Okay, what's the role of SEO in podcasting, Pat? How much discovery happens via search engines? And what's your take on the Google Podcast as well?
Yeah, Google Podcast is fantastic, and it's just something that's brand new over the past couple of years. Google has said that they're working really hard to double the amount of podcast listeners for all of us podcasters, which is great news, and they're going to do that with their search engines and all the data that they collect, and that's really fantastic. We are starting to see things like if you type in the name of a podcast in search, you can actually play episodes from that podcast right in the search results. If you type in just a general term in Google and then the word podcast, you'll see a whole array of different podcasts in that particular niche. The only thing is it's not like Apple Podcasts or Spotify where you submit your show. Google will do the work to actually list and display your podcast just based, again, on their search algorithms and the spiders that crawl through your website. So your website's going to be an important component to that. But it is really exciting, and I love that. In terms of SEO, there's not too much that you have to worry about right now. I imagine that in the future when Google Podcasts gets even more popular, that there's going to be even more variables that can help them understand what ranks higher than what. But generally speaking, you want to have and make sure that any pertinent keywords are in the title of your episode. So if you're doing a topic like Facebook marketing, you want to obviously make sure that the episode title has the word Facebook marketing. There are people out there who try to get really creative with their titles, but then miss out on the search engine opportunity that can exist both in Google, but also iTunes and Apple is a search engine. Spotify is a search engine. Stitcher and other directories are search engines as well. So if you're doing an episode about Facebook marketing, for example, make sure to include Facebook marketing in the episode and also in the description of that particular episode as well. Don't try to get too creative and say this marketing tip that will change everything for you. People aren't going to find it if they're looking for information about Facebook marketing. And then finally, the website that you have should support that podcast episode as well. So generally speaking, having a blog post published that has that podcast episode embedded in it, along with the description and a little bit of a summary and also keywords tied to it, that can help you get found on just general Google search and have people come and feed into your podcast as well.
Wow, that's superb. That's a very detailed answer, Pat. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
And how do we make the podcast Alexa and Siri friendly? Do you think when we talk to Alexa, do they pick a lot of answers from the podcast? Is there any voice technology based strategy that we follow while we upload the podcasts?
Well, the beauty is actually if you just do everything the way you're supposed to, you won't even have to worry about anything special to have sort of voice behind your podcast, because a person can just go, you know, hey, Alexa, I'm just worried I'm going to open up an Alexa in the office here. Okay, there's no Alexa here. But if I say like, hey, Alexa, play the Smart Passive Income podcast, it'll actually look through my phone and go into the podcast app and open that up automatically. There's also Spotify. You can tie your Spotify playlist or have it played through your voice-activated device. Now, there are ways that people are using voice in a very unique way in the podcasting space by actually creating podcasts that are specific for Alexa, like skills. They create a skill so that it's like a two-minute podcast that people can put into their sort of morning routine. So when a person goes, hey, Alexa, play my morning routine, that your podcast sort of snippet will be a part of that. Now, that takes a little bit of extra work. There are people out there who can create those little snippets and have it be in the marketplace in Alexa for you. But generally speaking, it's not getting a ton of downloads compared to just having the general podcast itself, and that added work may not be worth it. But in certain niches, like fitness, for example, there's a lot of people who are creating those little skills for Amazon that are great tips. Like, hey, you wake up in the morning, you play a one-minute tip from Coach Jeff who motivates you to start the day, and that just becomes sort of in addition to the other content that you might have. So it's not anything that you need to worry terribly about at this point, but it is exciting to see voice be a part of a person's normal habits during their day, and the ability to open up your podcast just using your voice is pretty amazing.
Super. So what do you recommend, really long form of podcast or the short form, which is more important, which is good?
So this is a very common question. How long should my episodes be? Which one is better? To me, it starts with what is your goal? If your goal is to help people in a very quick way, then of course a short form makes sense. If your goal is to tell stories and do interviews that really get into the deep meat that can help people, then it might require a little bit more longer format. To me, it just starts with the end in mind. So what is the transformation that you want to offer your audience? And then reverse engineer from there what stories you need to tell, what tips do you need to share, what steps are required, what quotes do you want to share, etc. And your show length should be just based on that. I don't ever recommend that a person try to shoot for a very specific minute, like 45 minutes and that's it. Because what if you do an amazing interview and it goes for an hour? Are you going to cut it short? Or if you tell everything that you need to tell in 15 minutes, are you going to add 30 minutes of fluff? No. So I would start with the transformation in mind. However, generally speaking, you want to have a range that people can expect. There is, for example, a series of podcasts called the Quick and Dirty Tips. And it's very much an expectation of, hey, you're just going to get a quick tip for every podcast, and that's okay. And there are, on the opposite side, very, very long podcast episodes where people can expect just very much in-depth interviews or going deep into a particular topic. The Joe Rogan podcast, for example, he does interviews that are sometimes 3 hours long, and people will listen all the way through. And then there's another show called Hardcore History. This person, he does a lot of research in telling stories about history and sharing about really historical figures. Sometimes those episodes go 5 or 6 hours. So there's no right or wrong. It's just what is the expectation that you can set for your audience, and thinking about their listening habits can be a great way to start thinking about, well, how long should your episodes be too?
Super. And how does one make money via podcasts? Like, I hear a lot from people that you can make a lot of money via podcast. How much? And is it through advertisements or is it through sponsorship opportunities? Where do you see it flowing?
So there's a lot of money to be made in podcasting, especially when you consider the relationship that you're building with your audience. Advertisers love that because they know that when your audience trusts you, you can recommend something and many of those people will actually follow those recommendations. So advertisers are really excited about that. But also the relationship that you have with your audience too allows you to share some things that might be helpful for them, whether it's an affiliate product, a product that's not yours, or a product that you have yourself. So there's many different ways to go about it, but it's not like YouTube where it's based on the number of listens you have and you can just kind of inject AdSense into your podcast. It doesn't work like that currently. But the way that it works is if you're working with advertisers or sponsors, you would do a deal with them such that they would pay you a certain amount of money to have what's called a pre-roll, so like an advertisement before your show starts, a mid-roll, which is an advertisement right in the middle of your episode, or a post-roll, an advertisement at the end. And generally speaking, you can earn anywhere between $20 to even $50 CPM, that's cost per 1,000 downloads. So if you get 1,000 downloads per episode, you might get $20 to $50 if you have a deal with somebody like an advertiser or sponsor who wants to get on your show. So that's one way to go about it. You can also do affiliate marketing. This is something that every podcaster can do right from the start. Maybe you might share your favorite products on Amazon that you use in your daily life that help you, that relate to your audience and what they're doing too. So you can just recommend those products with an affiliate link. In the US, at least, you want to make sure that you are very open and honest that you are using an affiliate link. I think that's the way it is around the world as well. But if a person enjoys your recommendation and goes through that link or goes to your website and then clicks on that link, then you can get paid a commission or a percentage of that overall sale. And I love that model. I've been using that for years now, and it's easy to get started because you don't need to create your own products. You can just recommend the products that already exist. You can also sell your own products. I have my own online courses, for example. I host my own workshops and events here in San Diego, California, and mentioning them on my podcast is a great way to let people know about them, to learn more information. Instead of selling products directly on the show, what I love to do is collect people's email addresses from the show so that I can serve them and put them into a campaign that allows them to understand all the other things that I have to offer. And then finally, there's even a product out there called Patreon. This is a really interesting model where you can have your fans of your podcast sort of pledge a certain dollar amount every month to just support you. And in exchange for that, maybe they get access to those shows early. Maybe they get access to you on a live webinar, just Q&A, just for your patrons, your fans who have donated, and you can have different levels. That's a very popular way that podcasters are monetizing now outside of advertising or selling their own products.
Super. So would you like to share a case study with us, someone who has benefited out of the podcast program that you have? So people who are watching this show, you need to be aware that Pat also runs a course called the Power Podcasting Course. I have given the link of that course in the description, so you can click and you can purchase. I think it costs about $700 US, Pat, right?
Yes, that is correct. It is a course that has helped thousands of people start their podcast. Now, you could go out in the world and on YouTube and find from all different kinds of people, myself included, how to do it for free. But the number one thing that you have to realize is it's not just about getting your show up. It's about marketing your show and getting people to find it. And that's sort of my special sauce that I put into this course because I come from a marketing background. I'm an entrepreneur and I know how to get found. And I can share with that how you can get found as well. So there's many different case studies. I mean, we could talk for hours about all the success stories. There's Sophie Walker. Her name is very important because she started her podcast from scratch with no email list, no website, no nothing. So she was a good case study for somebody who was building her brand with her podcast versus somebody who already has a business and wants to scale it. So Sophie Walker, she has a podcast in Australia called Australian Birth Story. She interviews moms and people who just recently gave birth, and new moms listen to the show so that they know what to expect and to not be afraid, right? And she has been able to get millions of downloads to her podcast. She now has been doing this full time, and she now has, I think she's been ranked at the top of kids and family category in Australia several times now. And even the government of Australia has recommended her podcast for people for accreditation in their careers now, which is amazing. And again, she started from scratch. Then there's, let's see, who could I go with? Carrie and Rob Stewart, who have a podcast about Disney. Disney Travel Secrets is the podcast. They're Disney travel agents and they're trying to grow their business. And when they started their podcast, even with not very many downloads, they've been able to increase their business by 348%. They actually have to now turn customers away because too many are coming. And they're developing their own sub-agents now because it has been too popular. Actually, Disney has even reached out to them to say, how are you doing this? How are you sending so many people our way? And they say, well, it's because of the podcast. There's also Dr. Shannon Irvin. She is somebody who is a good friend of mine. She had an offline practice. She was helping business owners on a one-to-one basis, and she wanted to scale. So she built her podcast to be able to share her knowledge with more people and hopefully get more people to come her way so she can help more at one time. And then she has an online course and a program, and she's been launching many, many different times since her podcast. And it's because of the podcast that people are able to develop a relationship with her and want her as a coach. So there's many, many different ways that you can develop a following on a podcast to scale and grow your existing business, to take your offline business online. And it all has to do with just why and how people are listening. It's the relationship that you're building with them. I also know a lot of people who are starting podcasts, again, from scratch, just like Sophie, without even knowing exactly what their business is. They just have an interest and a hobby. For example, Phil Lichtenstein, he is a person who is a hobbyist in the world of hand radios. So like the radios, like where you can listen to the police and listen to the emergency lines. It's just a hobby of his. So he created a podcast because he just loved it. He wanted to attract more people to him. And now he's an authority in the space. He actually has fans. He does Facebook Lives now, and he has fans who listen to every episode. And he's just, he can't believe it. It's just kind of unreal. And now brands are reaching out to him and giving him early use of different products in the space because they know that he has an audience now as a result of his show. And again, he started from scratch as well. So we could keep going, but there are so many different opportunities out there, no matter where you're at, no matter what level you're at, even if you're just starting from scratch.
Wow. Fascinating, Pat. That's a lot of interesting case studies. And I just didn't know that podcast has such strong avenues because in India, it's just picking up now. It's not that popular. So I believe that a lot of people, a lot of you are watching. I've already started my podcast. I was inspired by what Pat was doing. And I would recommend all of you to also start one of yours. Okay. So people are starting. Do you have any 5 key tips for a podcaster for the coming year, for the year 2020? So what do you think, and what are those 5 things that they got to do?
Yeah, tip number one is just get started. I think in India especially, you have an opportunity to get ahead of everybody else. And I mean, imagine, I mean, the population of India and just technology, podcasts are going to spread quite quickly, quite fast. And if you have a podcast in India, you're going to be ahead of the game. And so number one is just to get started. Number two, really make sure you hone in on what your niche is. I think it's very, very important to understand that you can still build a great business and a big following with a narrow niche. That way, people will know that you are their go-to person. Let's say you are a dog trainer. Maybe instead of training all dogs, maybe you are training dogs who are like the smaller dogs because they talk and you could speak to them in a language that they could relate to. So picking a niche and really honing on what they need help with, what their problems are, what their pains are, what their interests are is really important. If you need to have conversations with people to understand that, do that, because then you can take all the questions they have and you can make individual episodes about each of them and you'll become an authority in that way. Number three, I would definitely consider what products you could promote even from day one of your show. So you could promote things like an affiliate for different products that you use, and don't just go on to the show and say, hey, buy this product, buy this product, buy this product. I would tell stories about those products, how you use them, how they've helped you. Bring other people on who have used them too. That way it becomes more relatable. And this relates to tip number four, and that is, and this is the perfect thing that podcasting is meant for, telling stories. Even if you're teaching, even if you're doing some demonstration of some kind, teach through storytelling. Stories transport that person who's listening from where they're at to where you are or where you were in that situation. And when you're teaching something, that becomes much more memorable when it's in a story that people can remember. So even, you know, even if it's like going back to my earlier example, Facebook marketing tips, sure, I could do an episode that's like top five Facebook marketing tips, but every tip should have a story behind it. Like, hey guys, okay, this first tip, I want to tell you a quick story. I ran this ad, I spent this much money, and I thought it was going to make hundreds of dollars, but guess what? I made nothing. Has that ever happened to you? Well, here's what I learned from that experience. So just putting it into context versus tip number one, make sure your ads are optimized. It's boring. Put a story behind it. People will remember, they'll get excited about it, and they'll be able to tell that story to other people too to help grow your show. And number three, or five, sorry, this is the biggest tip. When you launch your podcast, don't just launch with one episode. Launch with three at least. And the reason is because you're going to build a lot of hype, get people excited. People are going to come to your podcast page. Just having one episode is like doing a concert and playing one song only and then leaving. You want to give more that people can kind of sink into, and that gives them more opportunity to hear your voice, to develop a relationship with you. Each episode could be about kind of a different subtopic in your space, and maybe a person's more interested in topic number three first, and they'll listen to episode three first. So now there's different entry points. And then finally, more calls to action to go back to your website, to go and subscribe to your email list and get involved with whatever it is that you have to offer. So those are my five tips for you if you're just starting your show.
Superb. And so I'm just trying to ask something very opposite to the last question. What are the five biggest mistakes a podcaster generally does?
Yeah, so biggest mistake number one is to try and be perfect. Your first episodes especially are going to be bad, and you have to let them be bad. If you spend hours editing all your ums out and all your breaths, and it's just going to take too much time and you're never going to get it done. So don't worry about being perfect. Mainly just worry about delivering value on your show. Number two, not having great artwork. You need to have good artwork. There's one piece of art, the cover of your podcast, that square image. That's really, really important. And if you can design for that and have it be interesting, then you're going to stand out from the people who are also in your space. Because guess what? People see your artwork before they listen to any of your show. So that's a very, very important piece of the puzzle to get found, is how interesting is that artwork. Along the same lines, mistake number three is with that artwork, designing it to look great when it's big, but not looking great when it's tiny. Remember, people are listening and finding your show on their phones, on their devices. So that big piece of artwork, it has to also look good in a very, very small format. So I would say when you're designing your artwork, also shrink it down to 55 by 55 pixels to see whether or not it actually can be read at a smaller scale. Some of the stuff in that artwork might disappear, but as long as people can still see the big things you want them to see, the title of your show, obviously, if you have that, then you'll do really well. Number four, you get started without thinking about the content that's coming ahead. You maybe have five episodes in your mind, but I would list out actually 25 episodes that you can create. That way you don't get to episode five and then all of a sudden next week you have to record a new episode and you're trying to make up what it is those episodes are going to be about. Getting to that point puts you on that content hamster wheel where you just feel like you're always on that wheel, and that's not a good place to be. If you can get ahead of your editorial calendar, you're going to be a lot more, you're going to have a lot more breathing room and a lot less anxiety and stress about just, oh no, I have to figure out what next week's episode is going to be about. And number five, the biggest mistake is a lot of podcasters think that the way to grow is to just repurpose that content and place it elsewhere on social media, or take that audio and put it onto YouTube. That can work, although it does take a lot of time. The best way to grow your podcast is actually to get on other people's podcasts, because it takes a lot of effort to have a person open their app, to press play, to listen, and then subscribe. But a person who's already listening to somebody else's podcast, and if that podcaster gives an endorsement to you and your show, well, people are already in the app that they're listening to podcasts, and they can just easily add your show on top of that too.
Superb. That's some really insightful stuff, Pat. Thank you so much for that.
You're welcome.
So, Pat, we are now heading towards the second part of the show. It's called the Rapid Fire Questions. But before we head there, would you like to share some quick secrets that has helped you earn a lot of passive income online? What's that you have done, which you would like to share with my audience today?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest secret is really just understanding the very specific pains and problems that your target audience has. I think a lot of us try to come up with ideas or guess what our audience might like. The more you can remove the guesswork, and you can do this by finding out what people are typing into Google, by doing research on places like answerthepublic.com, or going into forums and seeing what people are struggling with. But the biggest thing is just having real life conversations, because the more that you can understand that, and the more you can understand the language that they use to describe those problems, the easier it is going to be for you to create content that actually matters to them, to recommend products that they actually want. And when you can nail that, everything else just falls into place much easier. That's the biggest secret. And the second secret is, after you solve their problems, thinking about how you can automate that so that you can get time back and then serve them in different, bigger kind of ways. So yes, it might take some manual work up front to create a book or to create a course, but then you can automate that and have systems and campaigns and email campaigns, funnels in place, so that when a person subscribes to your email list, then everything just kind of happens automatically. They'll eventually get served that product offer, and you can just continue to serve them in different ways on top of that. So automation and using tools and people to help you where you know that things are repeated or things can be done automatically is a smart strategy for sure.
Super. Sounds good. So now I'm going to start my rapid fire questions, Pat. And are you ready for rapid fire?
Let's do it. So quick answers. You want quick answers to these?
Yeah, I want quick answers for these. So if you asked, so Pat, if you asked to shift to India to teach passive income sources, how would you react?
Huh. I think it would be a great opportunity for sure. I'd be very excited about that. It's something I'd like to do actually. And I've been asked to speak in India several times. I just haven't had the chance to do that. But what I would do is really help people understand how to validate their first ideas. So going into different markets in India, and there's a lot of things that I don't know about India where I'm sure there's pockets of people, markets that need help. I would go in and just become the authority to help those people and really start to have conversations. So like I said, I can know how I can solve their problems much faster.
Super. So if you wake up to realize your podcasts are deleted by mistake by your child, what would you do?
I would just get my backups, because I have backups of everything, so we'd be okay. No, just kidding. But I understand the question. I would just start again. And I would start, you know, it doesn't take that much to start and get going and get to a point where you can get up and running again. I think, again, it goes back to, well, who it is that you're serving. So if my podcasts were deleted, then it would be very easy to start a new show somewhere else. And luckily, I've built fans who will follow me wherever I want to go. So building for fans is really an important insurance policy when it comes to building your business.
Do you agree that half the people don't know what their niche is when they enroll on your program and even after they complete the course? I mean, not just yours, but generally, people don't really know how to discover their niche. Do you think that's one of the biggest problems?
I think people have an idea of who they want to serve, but they haven't nailed it yet. They don't know the problems and they don't know where to find them. So I would actually say it's more like 75% of people who are already taking action to start a business don't know exactly who it is that they're serving. And that's a big problem. And you've heard me say it again and again, you got to nail who that is. People who come into my course, they have generally an idea of who it is they're serving, but through a lot of the exercises that we do in the beginning, you start to hone in on who that is so that you can speak to them a lot more clearly.
Wow. So I'm now going to tell you some of the name of the brands now. And what's that one key advice you've already given to some of them because you're an advisor to them? And what would you recommend to others? Are you ready for this?
Yes.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Just one line advice, okay? So for AWeber, what's the advice that you would want to give?
It's not about more features. It's about making the features you have easier to use.
Wow, superb. ConvertKit.
Lean into customer service, because that's what's missing in email. And they've already have the top sort of customer service in email marketing. Make that even better.
Superb. teachable?
They've nailed how to create a course and how to get students to go through those courses. The platform for managing those systems is top notch. Now let's focus on how we can get your teachable customers, your teachers, to sell more products. So let's put some resources into the sales page. Let's put some resources into how to create email funnels or to even start being found.
Wow, Udemy.
So if I was advising Udemy, I would say give more control to the course creators.
Wow. And lead pages.
Innovate. They're not innovating right now, in my opinion.
Wow. Superb. Innovate. Right. They've just been there what they were doing like years back. Okay. That's very interesting. I always believe, Pat, that a leader grows when he learns and when he puts himself. So can you share the secrets today? How many coaches you have today? Or have you coached yourself? And for what reasons? So some of the coaches that you...
So I have a couple coaches. James Schramko is one of them from Super Fast Business. What I love about that is he just is very, very smart and he's not involved in my business at all. So what I love about that is he's able to see things from an outside perspective. And I think that's so needed with anybody doing business. You need people who are on the outside who have experience in their own way, their own flavor, to be able to tell you what's going on, because in our businesses, we're inside and it's hard to read the label from inside the bottle, right? So I have James Schramko. I have a lot of other people in my life who I consider coaches, even though they're just colleagues as well. So I have two mastermind groups. They meet weekly and they're very important to me. They have a lot of different entrepreneurs from different styles and different backgrounds and experiences, and they all have added value to my life. And I think that the most important lesson that you can learn from this is if you're getting started in business, you can't do it alone and you got to get people to help you on the outside. Every successful entrepreneur has many people in their corner, and this is why big companies have advisory boards. This is why individuals have mentors. And I think that more than anything, you need to have a mentor yourself. Even if you can't connect with them directly, I've had mentors who I've considered to be virtual mentors, like Tim Ferriss or Gary Vaynerchuk. They weren't giving me advice for me personally, but the advice that they give to many other people, I took as if it was just for me too. And so those people I've considered my mentors as well. And then finally, Ramit Sethi from I Will Teach You to Be Rich. He is somebody who I've found to be very inspirational as well. And he and I chat every once in a while. And he's sort of a mentor to me as well.
Wow, that's nice. And you love talking about this thing called SwitchBot. I see a lot of tweet on that, don't you? What's SwitchBot? Would you like to share something about that?
Yeah, so SwitchBot is an invention, actually. I like to test and try new things. And my videographer and I, we created a tripod that easily opens and closes so that people can vlog and put it down really easily. And we launched this on Kickstarter earlier this year in 2019. We raised about $415,000. We had about 5,000 backers back it. And we just shipped it to everybody, and it's brand new experience for us doing physical products. We're now looking into how we might be able to put this product on Amazon and other retail stores. But it's been really amazing to see people actually use the SwitchPod and have it in their hands and hold it and use it to help them film. It's just a different feeling than just a lot of the digital stuff that I've been involved with.
Wow. And what's your hobby, Pat, besides making passive income?
Yeah. So, I mean, mainly I just love spending time with my kids and playing games with them. My son and I, we're playing a lot of Minecraft right now, so we're building worlds together. My daughter is even involved in that as well. Love to watch movies. I love just cinematography and how that all works. So just general things. I don't do anything crazy. I don't skydive or bungee jump or anything like that. I'm just a simple guy.
I'm very, very curious to know, how old are you?
I'm 36.
Wow. And when do you plan to visit India, Pat?
As soon as I can, I've been asked a few times. As soon as the kids are a little bit older, I'd love to take them as well and show them that part of the world. It's very interesting to me, and the people are amazing, and I'd love to serve them as well.
Superb. One last question. Can you reveal, as you're talking to me, how much money are you making today?
Today? I mean, in this, like this day alone, I mean, I would imagine that I would probably earn anywhere between $8,000 to $10,000 today alone through all the various businesses that I have. So I have a software company that has a podcast player. I have my online courses. I have the Switch Pod is selling, about a dozen to 15 units a day. So, you know, we're about, you know, at a rate of about, you know, $200,000 to $300,000 a month now, which is really amazing.
Wow, that's about it, Pat. Thank you so much for patiently answering all my questions.
Of course.
You're a rock star, Pat, and this is one of the best interviews I've ever had. There's so much to learn. You've given a lot of insights and really appreciate that. So folks watching this show, I have done my job this Diwali, lighting up our lives by bringing Pat and discovering his wisdom. It's time for you to spread the word by sharing this video with the world. Thank you, Pat, for patiently answering my questions again, and dhanyavaad from India.
Thank you so much.
With this note, I'll end up my podcast, and I hope you guys are following me on Instagram already. Do not forget to subscribe to instagram.com/SaurabhJain and DM me there. Maybe you get lucky with the answers on my next podcast. Have a good day, guys. Goodbye.